So I've been with the New Vic since 2005, which is it's a long time I've been here. I came in as just as a lighting technician, and I've worked my way up and progressed as a deputy chief electrician. What's kept me here is that chance to progress, learn and grow, and working with education has been one of the brilliant and best things of that. I've worked with a lot of education practitioners, I've worked with a few education practitioners over the years, and doing shows on the main stage, in the studio, with Arts Award the last few years as well, and engaging and working with the kids for that. So that's been a fantastic way for me to grow and learn as much as anything, by doing these sort of projects and shows in studio, in the main space or wherever, and that kind of thing, being able to grow my skill set along with working with education, which I thoroughly enjoy coming in and doing those projects and seeing that craft and being sort of brought together. So it's been me chance to work a bit, somewhat freely in some respects as a technician, and sort of learn myself and grow myself a bit by doing these projects through. And it's nice to be able to give that back, my experience of time doing these projects and shows, about what sort of things have worked well, what hasn't, and been able to give that back to and enhance what we're doing when we do projects and shows, and knowledge wise about what we're doing and giving that stuff back.
I also think it instills excitement in younger visitors, because they get really excited about these jobs that they have no idea exist in some respects. They don't know there's a whole team of craft departments behind the scenes that make what they see on stage happen. So being able to share some of the tricks we do and seeing their faces in amazement as they go, oh wow, oh I can taste that, oh that tastes like chocolate and it actually looks like something completely different, that's amazing. I think it's really important to share and really engage young people as well as all generations in what we do, and get people excited about theatre in a completely different way and not just what they see on stage every night in front of their eyes.
I think it's really important, because I think an awful lot of people that come to the theatre don't even realise that this is made in-house, because a lot of theatres that you do actually go to don't have the facilities to do this, and it gets made out and then brought in, or they hire a whole show in. So I think it's really important that the public see that side of things and understand that everything is made in-house, and that's why we have the amount of people working here and the funding that we use for it.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the New Vic's 60th anniversary podcast. I'm Dr. Rachel Walker, theatre historian.
And I'm Jill Rezzano, head of education at the New Vic Theatre. And you've just been listening to the voices of Peter Morgan, deputy chief electrician, Debbie Hall, costume technician, and Steve Hall, our company stage manager.
So we talked on the last episode about the open day, and we didn't mention so much about the theme, which was celebrating 60 years of theatre making, really trying to celebrate some of those crafts that go on at the New Vic Theatre and perhaps aren't always known about. So today we're going to be heading backstage to understand a bit more about some of those jobs that happen before the finished performance is enjoyed by an audience.
That's right. So we've already heard from some of our colleagues, and now we're going to hear from one of our long-standing colleagues, Liz Evans, who is head of design at the New Vic Theatre.
Most people come and see the play and watch the actors and think, oh, the actors are great, and they are. But there's so much, there's so many processes that go on backstage, from stage management to workshops to costume making, design, lighting, all the different areas that the layers that add up to make the production as rich as they are on stage. And it's lovely on a day like this to be able to share those processes, so that people come and see the costume drawings and the models and costumes on stands and different things that they wouldn't normally get to see. And people are amazed that we actually produce all those things here at the Vic on site in our workshops and costume departments.
Do you find, what are people's reactions then generally to seeing all that that goes on? Are they quite amazed, like you say?
On a day like today, so many people say, oh, I had no idea that you did all this on site. And it's interesting that when a show like Tom, Dick and Harry that we've recently done, which is set in the Second World War, obviously so costumes like that you can buy online. Mm. You can get reproduction uniforms or authentic uniforms, but something like Beauty and the Beast or Prince and the Pauper, people don't really realise, of course, you can't buy a Tudor costume. Well, you can. You can buy a really awful crinkly velvet one off of Smithy's website for dressing up clothes. But to get the kind of authenticity and the nice rich fabrics and layers of costume that we want on our stage, we need to make it all from scratch to give it that authenticity.
That's great. And what do you, from a sort of personal point of view, what's the theatre meant to you?
Well, I've worked here a long time, and it's been amazing to be able to do what I love and do all the different aspects of my job. So when I was at uni, it was a polytechnic then, I liked art and I liked theatre and I liked English literature and I liked working with other people. And theatre is one of those few areas where you can still do, I'm set projects, like a student.
Yeah.
I'm set a project, I'm given a play, I'm given a script, I work with a director and a bunch of really creative people. And sometimes I'm a researcher, sometimes I'm out fabric shopping, sometimes in the rehearsal room, sometimes working in quite closely with an actor, working out a quick change or working out what a costume needs to do to help their performance. I'm working with stage managers, I might be out prop shopping, I might be in the rehearsal, on stage, working with a lighting designer. So it's a really multi-layered job, and that's what's fantastic about it. It's never dull because you've always got a new task to complete or a new period to research. Or sometimes, even like during lockdown when we weren't actually working in the theatre, I was still drawing at my dining table, working on shows. And then one day I was asked to come in and say, right, we need a new workspace outside for our youth theatre. So I came in, took photographs of the car park and worked out how we could create an outdoor workspace. And working with our education department, we created a lovely space outside. Working with Borderlines department, we've created some pop-up shops down Newcastle. So because I'm a resident designer, I get to design all the fantastic shows, but also do other stuff like interior design or outside design. When we did our production of Coppelia, had to work in a completely different way.
Yeah.
And you know, it was wonderful. We came back after lockdown and we were all working on an outside production, which very few of us had ever done before. But it was a new challenge and it was a new way of sharing our work with our audiences. So it was fantastic to, you know, get so many opportunities. And doing things like transferring shows to London, doing co-productions with other companies. I've worked a lot with Northern Broadsides, with Bolton Octagon, with lots of other theatres and around and about, which is another way of, you know, getting our work seen just beyond Staffordshire, which is exciting.
Absolutely.
Not that there's not enough people coming to see it here, which is great, and like a day like today, so many people coming through that you think, oh yeah, I saw that production. Somebody told me about a production of Mr. Whatnot that they saw, which must have been in the 1970s.
Wow.
Even before I worked here.
Yeah. But it stuck with them, though. That's the amazing thing.
And people want to share their memories as well as see what we do and see all the kind of different backstage areas. So, it's exciting on a day like today. It's a lot of people volunteer to do open days because it's really, it affirms what you do and makes you feel like people really appreciate it and, you know, enjoy the stuff that we do here.
You get that feedback, I suppose, which you don't always get, do you? Like, the actors get to stand there and have the applause, but
Absolutely.
You don't get to come on and have that bit.
Yeah, it is really, really nice to see that people do appreciate all the different layers of production.
From what Liz said there, it seems that the open days are really important to keep that connection between the staff and the community.
Yeah, definitely. And as somebody who works on those open days, you can't get to the theatre early enough because there'll be people who have arrived, parked up and are ready to come in. And I think if we ever needed any evidence of, you know, how much we are valued and the work that we do, I think it's on those open days. And I know one of the reasons that people love to come and love to bring their kids and their families is they're so practical. So you can get your hands on things. You know, you can be in a prop making workshop, you can be making stage blood, or we had a really excellent workshop this year with Pete, who we heard at the beginning, and our youth theatre director, Amy, where very young children were helping to design a lighting plot for a story, and not just how to press the buttons, but thinking about the time of day it was set and what the story was about. So people love to come in, yes, of course, to see the theatre and all the interesting spaces that you don't normally see. But it's a real opportunity to have a go and to think, you know, is this something I could be doing in the future? But really, I think the practicality of it appeals to so many different kinds of people. And it's just a pleasure to share that with everybody.
And you get the feeling that everyone who works at the New Vic is really happy to share knowledge about what they do.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, often colleagues will come to me and ask what we're doing to, you know, to engage students, for example, in possible experiences with us. So, you never have to ask twice, really. I think people feel very passionately about how we engage with our community, how we share our knowledge, and how we bring forward the next generation too.
And those open days, they've happened all through the history of the theatre, yeah, haven't they? And how often do you do them in a year? Do you do one a year?
Yeah, we try to do one a year. And we've had some great open days where we've managed to sell off some old costumes and props, and we're quite kind of amazed at who wants them. But actually, you know, it feels like you're not just making a donation to the theatre, you're buying yourself a little bit of history. So, yeah, we've had some wonderful, wonderful transactions, shall we say, in the car park. So one a year. But certainly that event is always full from start to finish.
We've got a chance to hear now from Daniela Beatty, Chief Electrician and Resident Lighting Designer at the New Vic.
So Danny, from your point of view as a New Vic professional, why is it important to you that we have these workshops, that we engage with the public and you share your vast knowledge and skills in your own particular area?
I think what we represent on stage is what people want to come and see. And I think that we need to be representative of what they know, what they're comfortable with, and also in taking them out of that comfort zone and taking them to see other things they had no idea existed. And that's a lot of what my job is either blending in with the background. So if we're doing a naturalistic play or something like that, we're trying to represent exactly what they're expecting to see. Or if we're doing something a little bit more different or a little bit more out there, that they can really enjoy it and that it can feel like something extraordinary. I had no idea I was going to see that when I walked in through the door. I think it's about delivering a world when they walk through the door. And I think that people are really excited by the stuff that kind of happened backstage, because they don't necessarily think about that, and they shouldn't think about that when they enter through the door. So I think particularly days like this are really good fun for people. The amount of times you get said, I had no idea that went on in the background, is a really lovely thing, because I think it just expands people's knowledge of how it all goes together. It might make them look at it differently. It might just make them be more appreciative of how much work goes into it. And obviously we get a lot of funding here, but that, you know, pays for us all to be able to do it to this amount of detail. So I think it's a bit like as in that swan swimming on the water. There's a lot of us paddling underneath to keep it up.
Do you get a sense of what surprises or even amazes people the most when you do a workshop with the community or with children especially or young people?
The simple things can often be the most effective. Something that we think, oh, that's just literally the easiest thing in the world. But because they're not expecting it, I still like it when it does that. So something I might have spent hours and hours and hours making or agonising over, people go, oh, OK, that's fine. But then the thing that took you the easiest amount of time but just looks amazing is the thing that makes everybody go, ooh, it's more exciting. So I like it when it is the simple things that do that.
Brilliant. And you yourself as a professional, do you think that you have learned and developed through your role at the New Vic?
Oh yeah, gosh, massively. I mean, I've been here for 25 years, and just talking to people today, again, the change in technology has been extraordinary over those 25 years. When I first came, we were dealing with lighting desks that all you had was a series of channel numbers and everything faded up and down together. Now we can give every single intricate little detail, its own time. It can have its own place in space. We can do so much of it virtually before we get into the space. So there's so much more opportunity to learn with platforms like YouTube and things like that. If there's something I'm stuck on, it's like, I really want to do that. I need to know how to do that little thing. I've got an idea, but I'm not quite sure how to do that. You can do so much research, whereas before you would have had to have spent days in libraries and in other venues and speaking to people just to get that one nugget of information. Whereas there is so much there that is now at your fingertips, you can really quickly learn how to use new bits of software, how to manipulate the programs, even learn about what new program, okay, I need to do that thing, what program would I need to get to do that? And that just was not available 25 years ago at all.
So do you have to invest quite a bit of time yourself in getting up to speed with new developments or finding out ways of developing what we have here to keep us current?
Yeah, you need to be... we can't have all the toys in the world. We're not in that league of that amount of spending money. But you can keep in contact with it by knowing about it or using it in little ways. So, for example, the 3D printing. There's lots more advanced, really expensive 3D printers that you can do loads of stuff with. But we would never be able to afford that because we don't use it in enough of a way. However, we do have a 3D printer and we are making stuff that we're using in shows. And for everything that we make a new learning journey about, okay, that was a good way to make this. This wasn't a good way to make that. This is something we would make more of with our 3D printer, but that actually wasn't, it didn't really save us any time or didn't really save us any money in the way that we made it. But you do have to spend a lot of time listening to what other professionals are doing and seeing what other professionals are doing and going, okay, right, so that's going to be the new thing. So projection, again, has been a massive thing that's come in and I think is going to go exponential in where it's going to go in the future. And although we haven't necessarily got the most biggest flashes kit, we have got stuff that has really enhanced what we're doing on stages and allowed us to keep in contact with that with that world that's going to be coming more and more when we move forward into the future.
It seems that many staff members have worked here for a long time, Jill. Why do you think theatre makers do enjoy working at the New Vic so much?
Well, you're right, they do. And I think it goes back to something that Danny was saying about how you grow and develop yourself as part of the team. I don't think even working here for a long time actually feels like the length of time it is, because it's a very dynamic place to work. You know, you might come in as one job role and that might change, or even within the same job role, what you're doing or how you're doing it changes so much. So you're never actually doing the same job, even if you've been here a long time. That does change. And I think also it is about the opportunity to develop yourself, not just the work that you do for us, but the new skills you can learn, or even just the variety of freelance artists who come in to work with us. We're working on a co-production with Northern Broadsides at the moment. And again, just being with those creative people from other places is such an attractive thing for theatre makers, because we thrive on that collaboration. You know, it's a collective endeavour, and that is often for people the clinching argument to work in theatre if you're creative, that you cannot do it on your own. So I think there's all sorts of reasons, but yeah, the opportunity to develop, the chance to work with amazing artists. And I will go back to the space again. I will mention the space, that it is a very, very exciting space to be making theatre in.
It's funny you mentioned the design of the theatre there, because again, I think the whole motivation behind it, even back to Stephen Joseph and Peter Cheeseman, was the importance of that backstage area, and that there was very much a focus on the need for that to be as spacious and comfortable as the front of house spaces, which I think is fairly unusual in theatre, really.
It is, and I think as well, in terms of our own green room, that we have the atrium space. It's a very open space, and it's incredibly sociable because you can see it from a lot of different places where you are in the theatre. So you feel welcome to go in. You know, it's not behind a heavy door. You can kind of go down there and make your drinks, make your toast, hang out with the actors, hang out with the technicians. It really does bring us together in departments and, you know, we can have a catch up with people. We have celebrations down there for people's, you know, kind of if someone's going on maternity leave or it's a big birthday, we can come together in that space. And it does feel like a place, you know, where everyone's welcome to pull up a seat, join in. You know, it's one of those places that I think you're drawn to. You don't want to sit at your desk. You want to go down there.
So already we find ourselves out of time again for this episode, but do tune into episode 3 to hear all things youth theatre and education. And don't forget, if you do have any feedback or anything you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you on archive@newvictheatre.org.uk.
This has been a New Vic Theatre podcast produced by Hollow Moon Media with music by James Earls Davis.